We have the gift of having Jen Taylor with us today. Jen and her great glasses. many of us know Jen. Jen served with us, led our children's ministry for 2 years?
Almost 2 years.
And not because we kicked her out, but she came to us to meet a critical need in a vital season just before I arrived, or just as I arrived, really, with a prayer and commitment towards God's call in her life towards serving in Latin America. And so she has gone off and been doing that. And she's on one of those hardworking breaks where a missionary comes home and instead of, well, you have had some East Coast, New Brunswick beach time.
Yes.
But also a lot of pounding the pavement and meeting with your supporters and churches. And so, but Jen is a gifted communicator, and we asked her to come and share. She's jumping into our series, but also sharing some of her own story. And she gets special missionary permission to not wear any shoes today. It's pretty good. Yeah. So, can I pray for you?
I would love that.
Cool. God, we thank you for your grace toward us. Thank you that you gift and call all of us in different ways. You've made each of us with different passions and gifts and skills to contribute to this world. I mean, here I am, standing on a stage built by someone else, holding a cup made by a company somewhere else, drinking water that someone has extracted and made clean for us. We stand here benefited by the service of many in all sorts of ways. We thank you for Jen and how she brings herself to this world and to you. The unique ways you have gifted and called her to serve in Iquique, Chile. And for us to have her with us today, God, as she opens up some of her own story to us and opens up some of Peter's story, we ask that you would speak through her, that you would give her faith and love in this moment, and you would give us humility and faith and love to hear and listen, not just to her, but to you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Scott. It is awesome to be here with you this morning. And as Scott said, I'm going to be doing a little bit of a dual purpose message this morning. I'm going to be sharing some stories from the mission field. I'm going to be talking about Peter, continuing the story of Peter. And just before we jump in, I want to just take a little moment to do a little commercial that out back in the lobby. I do have a table set up with prayer cards, with a place to sign up for a newsletter. And if anything that you hear today makes you think, I want to learn more about that, I would love to talk to you afterwards. About prayer support, financial support, whatever the case may be. And if you are watching from home and are interested in having that conversation as well, you can just call the church office and they will give you my contact information. Okay, end of the commercial. Thanks. Okay, so we're going to spend some time today talking about expectations versus reality. And I finished up my time here in December 2017. On January 1st, 2018, I started language school. Spent a year in Costa Rica learning Spanish. Still learning Spanish, by the way. And then was back here for a couple of months before heading off to Iquique, Chile, where I serve as the director of Florece, which is a prenatal and family counseling center in Iquique. It's in the north part of Chile. And I gotta tell ya, I maybe didn't even realize that I had some expectations about what my first term on the mission field was gonna look like, but lots of them came crashing to the ground pretty quickly. For example, after a year of language school, I expected that I would arrive in Chile and be able to communicate. It's a fair expectation, don't you think? But I couldn't understand anyone who was Chilean. Colombians, Venezuelans, Bolivians, Cubans, no problem. Chileans? I had nothing. It was like, I don't know what language that is. It was so different from the Spanish that I had learned. And it took quite a few months before I was like, okay, I can do this. And actually, sometimes 2.5 years in, I still meet someone and I'm like, I have no idea what you just said. That was an expectation that was an unmet expectation, right? 6 months after I arrived in Chile, there was a social uprising. I spent my entire time on Prefield telling every church and every individual supporter that Chile was one of the most stable and developed nations in South America. And that's where I was going. And suddenly, there was rioting in the streets, looting of stores. They haul everything out in the street and set it on fire. Suddenly, there were military helicopters flying around all night long with their big lights blaring down. There was government-mandated curfews. Our team had evacuation plans in case we had to leave the country. I mean, that wasn't an unmet expectation. That wasn't even on the horizon. I hadn't even considered that that was a possibility for my life. And yet 6 months after I arrived, that's what happened. And 6 months after that, COVID hit, which we've all experienced in such lovely ways. A worldwide pandemic was not something that I had considered a possibility. And just since I've gotten back to Canada, I've had the opportunity to worship with God's people again. A year and a half without, and my teammates, my church in Chile still cannot meet together, more than 20 people. COVID hit us hard. There were a lot of cases. And when you live in a place where there's multi-generational living, when you might have three or four generations living together in one home, or where, for example, one of our clients at Florece, her and her husband, and their two, now three, she's had a baby since I got home, three children, her in-laws, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and their two kids, so like that's 12 people, live in two rooms in a house. The other two rooms are rented out by who knows how many other people, and it's a shared kitchen and a shared bathroom. So you can imagine there's no such thing as physical distancing. And for the majority of the time, up until I left, Iquique was in phase one, which meant that we were allowed to leave our homes for 2 hours twice a week with a police permit. There were military check stops. They checked your permit and your ID before you were allowed in the grocery store. That can't really be described. It was something else. And yet through it all, through the ups, which I haven't really told you about lots of ups yet, but they're coming, and the downs, God has been faithful. And he's done some really cool things in our little church and in the ministry of Florece. Now, I've mentioned Florece before. Florece means blossom or bloom, and it is our prenatal family and counseling center. And it has been, actually Friday was our 5-year anniversary of being open. And it is a privilege to serve there, to minister to women in crisis, families in crisis, to help to lead our volunteer team. Over the last 5 years, we have seen over 200 individual women, more than 1,500 individual appointments. And God does some really cool things in the midst of this ministry. I'm going to tell you a couple stories. So I want to tell you a couple stories from each year that I was there. 2019, here we are. The very first little while that I was there, as I said, I had to get everything for my apartment. And once I was settled in those first 6 months, I started going to Florece every time the doors were open. I was reading materials. I was observing counseling sessions. I was learning the ropes. And about 5 months in, my teammate looked at me and said, "You're ready. The next client who walks through the door, you're gonna see them. You're doing the intake, you'll do the pregnancy test, you'll be their counselor." And I said, "I am not ready." And she said, "You are, and you're doing it." Gotta love teammates who push you. And getting to sit down the next day, a young lady walked through the door looking for a pregnancy test. and getting to sit down and do what I had dreamed of and what I believed God had called me to do for the first time solo blew every expectation out of the water. I was so excited. I could understand her. And I could talk to her, and we could have a meaningful conversation. Turned out that her pregnancy test was negative, and we have not seen her since. But shortly after that, I started meeting with this young lady consistently. She came already with her baby in arms, and she wanted help learning about being a parent, and she also wanted to learn about Jesus. And so we would do our parenting course, and then we would do a Bible study together. And we have this evangelistic Bible study that we use with any of our clients who want to learn about Jesus, simply titled, Who is Jesus? And it's 6 weeks, and it walks through with a person who Jesus is. And sitting with her in that room, with her little man throwing pens and making all kinds of distracting noises, the day that she recognized her need for a Savior, there are no words. It is one of the most special things you could ever get to experience. The other picture was a phone call that I got on a Saturday night. Our hope, our dream, is that the women who come to our center and learn about Jesus don't just stop there, but they get involved in a church. They get to know the body of Christ. And it doesn't happen all that often, if we're being honest. It's few and far between that we see our women integrated into a church. But this young lady started going to the church of one of our volunteers, and she said, I want to dedicate my baby. I didn't know who Jesus was, and I want him to know who Jesus is every day of his life. And so on a Saturday night, I called my teammates and said, I won't be at church tomorrow because I'm going to a different church, and got to go and watch as one of our clients dedicated her baby to Jesus. It was a beautiful, beautiful gift. And can I just say, compassion ministries, I think, are so important, but they're not the end game, right? We want to meet a felt need, and there are many felt needs in this area, so that we earn the right to share about the greatest need that all of humanity has, and that is to know Jesus. To know healing and wholeness because of the work of Jesus. So that was 2019. 2020, COVID. And things changed pretty dramatically. Instead of our counseling rooms being filled with women, they were filled with boxes. We weren't able to meet in person for about 8 months. And even after that, we weren't supposed to meet in person, but we did. Don't tell anyone. I know. Shh. We're going to pretend. Those boxes are full of food. And the felt needs of our clients became much, much bigger during COVID. Lots of our clients work selling things on the street corner. And when you're not allowed out of your home, you can't sell things, and if you can't sell things, you don't have money to buy food or pay rent or any of those things. And so we started purchasing these boxes that have enough food in them to feed one or two people for a week to 10 days. And to date, we have given out almost 180 of these boxes over the last year and a half. And praise the Lord that the money comes in to be able to purchase them. But to be able to meet that need is really special. And then surprise, surprise, babies still get born during pandemics. And this not-so-little guy was born to one of our clients, a 16-year-old single mom from Peru who entered Chile illegally, had no family and very little support, and here she was, a baby with a baby. And we got to love her and support her. For many, many months, she was attending our center at least once a week to meet with us. In the last 6 weeks or so, she's kind of disappeared. So If you could pray for her when you think of her, that would be great. She has shown interest in Jesus, but has not recognized her need for a Savior at this point. And we just want to continue to love her and would love to see her come back to the center. 2021, at the beginning of the year, we had 2 weeks where we were allowed to meet outside in groups. And two of our ladies in the church, one who had been a client at Florese in like year one, and one who was new to our church and new to the faith completely, said, "We've been waiting and we want to get baptized." And so we had a baptism at the beach. And it was beautiful. That's what I got to experience. I got to experience it through video because I actually wasn't in town at that point. But there was a wonderful baptism declaration of faith and new life that happened at the beach with our church and with a whole bunch of strangers who were passing by. And you never know what those little seeds will turn into one day. And then on the other side here, I am with some of our volunteers in our uniforms that we wear. Uniforms are very important in Chilean culture. I didn't know this. I don't like uniforms, but we wear a uniform. And this was Mother's Day, and we got to have these little chocolates and little costume jewelry. It's not very often that the moms who walk through our doors get gifts or have the opportunity to be made to feel special and loved. And so that was an opportunity that we had. So those are just a few stories. If you want to hear more, I have lots more, and I would love to talk to you about them. But these 3.5 years have been a mix of unmet and wildly exceeded expectations. And we're going to do a little transition, because I think when you look at the life of Peter, it's kind of easy to put on the expectations versus reality lens to view his life. And so we're going to transition into talking about Peter and Peter's expectations for his life. Now, first off, Peter comes from a family of fishermen. So his expectation was that he was going to be a fisherman, because there was no upward mobility in these days. You did what your family did. So his expectation was that he would be a fisherman, his children would be fishermen, his children's children would be fishermen. Until one day, a stranger walks up to him and says, "Come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." Now, I don't know how you would react if somebody said that to you at your place of work these days, but I doubt it would be to drop everything and follow that man. But that is exactly what Peter did. And in that moment, every expectation for his life changed. His reality was going to be very different than he thought it was going to be. And then last week, Scott talked to us about that moment when Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Messiah." The Israelites had a very different expectation for what the Messiah was going to do and who he would be than Jesus. They expected a conquering king. They expected someone who was going to free them from Roman rule and who would literally sit on a throne in Israel, someone from the lineage of David. And Jesus was and is the Messiah, but that was not the reality of who he was or what he came to be or do. And then we come to the Last Supper, also known as supper, because the disciples just never fully got what Jesus was saying. When he literally said, "I'm going to die and be resurrected 3 days later," he was that clear, but they did not understand. And we come to the Last Supper, And we come to, we're going to read from Mark chapter 14 today. We're going to start in verse 27. This is where Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And Jesus says, "All of you will desert me. For the scriptures say God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." "Peter," Jesus replied, "the truth is this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." "No," Peter insisted, "not even if I have to die with you. I will never deny you." And all of the others vowed the same. Now you would think that Peter would have learned by now not to disagree with Jesus. But his expectation was very clear in this passage. Did you hear it? "I will never deny you. Even if I have to go to the grave with you, I'm with you." And just a few short verses and a few short hours later, in verse 66, Jesus has been arrested. He's before the council. He is not being treated well. And Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and then said, "You were one of those with Jesus, the Nazarene." Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. And he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him standing there and began telling the others, "That man is definitely one of them." Peter denied it again. A little later, some other bystanders began saying to Peter, "You must be one of them because you're from Galilee." Peter said, "I swear by God, I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and he cried. Another version says, "And he wept bitterly." I've spent some time over the last couple of weeks trying to put myself into Peter's shoes, Peter's sandals. It's not a nice place to sit. His disappointment in himself, his weakness, his frailty, that in the face of potential danger, being lumped in with Jesus, he chose self-preservation over loyalty to the man he had declared to be the Messiah. And when Peter's expectations that he would be strong enough to never deny Jesus didn't come to pass for himself, for Jesus as the Messiah even, it must have seemed in that moment like the story was over. That there was no hope. That there was no redemption. And I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a moment where you've said something or done something and thought, "Oh my goodness, I have irreparably damaged a relationship that I have with someone that I love, someone that I respect." For me, in those moments, I'm like the person who wants to go and sit down and talk about it. And talk until it's worked through. Peter couldn't do that. Jesus had been arrested. He was not accessible. And he couldn't apologize. He couldn't try to make it right. He had to stand by and watch while his Lord was beaten and crucified and put in a borrowed tomb. Hopeless, the story must have felt like it was over. But the story wasn't over. And neither is yours. I don't know if you're sitting in this room or you're sitting at home today and you feel like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. That every expectation you had for your life has just crumbled in the face of reality. Whether that's by something you've done or something someone else has done, or simply because we live in a broken and fallen world. We all have moments where it feels like the story is over. But as long as we're walking on this earth, the story is not over. Jesus is not finished. For Peter, just a few days later, he met Jesus on the beach. And I'm sure that when he looked into Jesus' face, he expected to find frustration, condemnation, judgment. But what he found when he looked into the eyes of Jesus, he found love, he found grace, forgiveness, compassion. And not only those things, he also found a renewed purpose. He found a fresh start. This man that had called down curses from heaven on the people who said, "You must be one of them," was going to be used to build the church as we know it, the family of God around the world. And friends, I can't guarantee that you'll get what you want in this life. I can pretty much guarantee you won't. Not all of it anyways. I can't guarantee a fresh start. But I can promise you that if you turn your face to Jesus, you recognize who he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the perfect one who never sinned, who came to this earth freely of his own choice to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to be buried, and 3 days later to rise again. If you look into the face of Jesus, you will find that same grace, that same love, that same forgiveness and compassion from Jesus that Peter did. If Peter could be used to build the church after he denied his Savior, think of how God can use you. The story isn't over. Whether it's your dream that by now you would have a partner in life, that you would have children, that you would have children who faithfully walked with Jesus all of their lives and never struggle. That you would never be sick, or that the sickness wouldn't return after it was gone. Whether it's that dream job that you have worked for that has just never come to pass, whatever it is, the story isn't over. Your story isn't over because Jesus is alive and he is well and he is working in and through us today. And friends, if you think, "I don't really know who Jesus is," he's waiting for you. And he would love to know you, but he's not going to force himself on you. And I would love the opportunity to share with you who Jesus is. I know lots of people in this room would. If you came with someone, they'd be a good person to start with. Anyone on staff, also an option. And if you think, I know Jesus, I've walked with him, but I've messed up real bad, and I don't know. I just don't know. I may have gone too far this time. It's not possible. It's not possible. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to turn his back on you. He loves you. He is there, waiting with love, compassion, forgiveness, and grace in each moment, in each day. So whether you're in a high, exciting, happy place in life, or you're in a low, low valley, take comfort in the words that are found in John. I want to end with these verses. These verses have been a source of encouragement to me over these last months. Well, before I came back, when I was stuck in my house and feeling the effects of being alone for a long time. Jesus in John 14 is again trying to tell his disciples that he's not staying, that their expectations for their conquering King Messiah are not quite in line with the reality of the situation. And he says that he's going to leave, but that he has to leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. The Comforter is going to come. And in chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. I'm leaving you with a gift. This world is broken. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of heartache. We look around and we see what seems like death and destruction on every side. But for those of us who know Jesus, we have been given a gift. Many gifts, right? We begin with the gift of forgiveness and God's goodness and graciousness and kindness towards us every single time that we mess up. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's a lot. And we can hold to this, that until Jesus comes again, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he gives peace of mind and heart in all kinds of circumstances, in moments that are beautiful, and in moments that we couldn't even imagine would ever happen to us. Peace of mind and heart. Turn to Jesus today, friends, whether it be for the first time or the first time today. Find your peace in him. Find your peace in him. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good to us. You show your love towards us in so many ways, first and foremost, in the gift and the work of Jesus. Your graciousness and your kindness meet us each and every day. Your mercies are new every morning. God, it is easy to take our eyes off of you and off of your promises and put them onto this world and all the things that are wrong. But help us, God, to remember that the story's not over, that you are still working, that there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy, there is peace of heart and mind for each and every person who knows you as Lord and Savior. Help us, God, to rest in your truth and in your word. Help us to know and feel that peace when everything seems to be falling apart. We look forward, God, to the day when all things are made new. But until that day, God, we come to you with open hands and open arms, wanting to live for you. We cannot do it without you. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you did not leave us on this earth when you went back to heaven without a comforter, without a guide, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. We rest in that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.